Three straight wins in the Henny Derby for Foreign Madison. Oh, it's so good. The Pink Men don't quit.
What is up, flock and friends? Welcome into a special USL League One Day One edition of Talkin' Flock, your full Mingo podcast. This is your host, Rob Chapel, and we're going to jump right into it because joining us today is the head coach himself, Matt Glazer. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, Rob. How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. I know it's a very busy time of year for you all as you're the one season ends and the next begins, kind of the next day, right? Is it, you're just already thinking of.
Yeah, there's not a lot of lag time. It's kind of the soccer sort of part of the season ends, and then it's recruitment and planning and strategizing and preparing for the next year. So yeah, not too much of a break, maybe a small one, but then right back at it.
You get like one night to breathe for a second.
Yeah, breathe. I got it.
We just mostly because of my schedule, we never got a chance on the podcast here to really. Reflect on, recap, look back on the 2023 season. So I wonder if we can do that just for a minute here. You told us a year ago that the goal was to make the playoffs. That goal was achieved. How do you feel about just the overall, how things went in 2023? Obviously that playoff loss stings, but, you know, with separation of a month and a half or so, how are you feeling right now about the 2023 season?
Yeah, again, you try to look at it on a macro level first. The way that I like to do it is kind of look at it that way, on the macro, and then kind of work back, kind of deconstruct from there and work back and then start to go into the detail and start to go into, you know, the reasons why certain things went well, the reasons why certain things need to continue to improve, and you start to look at the detail, and we're kind of right in the middle of that second part of it. But yeah, look, on a whole, I think, look, like you said, we accomplished the first objective, which was to make the playoffs. So we're obviously pleased with that. I think nobody at the club was pleased with the way the season finished. You know, I think we all felt like that there was more that could have been accomplished. I think we all felt, look, as we do in this business, you have big expectations, and you have you're hungry to go and try and win things, and obviously, look, I think we're pleased, but that we accomplished objective one, but I think we're by no means satisfied with the way things turned out, and we're hungry for more. We're hungry to continue the progression. I think there was a progression in terms of results. There was a progression in terms of what we did on the field. I think stylistically, I think result wise, obviously there was a progression. So, but it's not at the level that we would like it to be at. It's still something where we feel like next year there has to be a continued progression. I think our goals and ambitions are even loftier next year, and that's to try and finish in the top four and host a playoff game and kind of be the first side in our club's history to do that, and that's where we're headed. That's what our goals and ambitions are. There's a lot of things that need to continue to improve for us to do that. We're aware of that, but. You know, we have a strategy in terms of building for 2024. It's a short-term strategy. It's we're kind of beyond the sort of rebuilding phase of kind of what needed to happen over the last 18 months or so. And I think we're into a phase now where we need to set higher standards, where we need to go out and improve the team in the areas that we need to improve it. And to have the success that we want. I think, look, this year, solid defensively for the most part. I think one of the sort of in terms of like expected goals against and our defense, 12 clean sheets, I think was second best in the league.
Yeah.
A solid defensive campaign. I think it's very clear that where we need to improve, and that's the other side of the ball. That's the attacking half and the attacking third of the field. And It's not easy. You know, we said the same thing the year before, and I think it's been something that the club's struggled with historically. How do we find ways to put the ball in the net? And I think a lot of it's down to recruiting. I think making key additions, but getting consistency and depth in the attacking side of the field is going to be a big task for us here in the offseason that we're working hard at. But yeah, like you said, like I said, like expected goals, I think we were top five in the league in terms of chance creation. So that's something that as a coaching staff, we feel good about our method, our way of getting there. And now it's down to being more, having a higher conversion rate, being more clinical in those, yeah, in those key moments. And those are the differences between some of the tight losses that we had, some of the one goal games that where maybe we drew or lost over the course of the season in our league. It's so important that we have the confidence to know that we're going to score if we go down a goal. This is probably a really long, I guess a pretty long-winded answer, but it's a pretty broad question. But yeah, I think, look, we felt good about a lot of the things that we did this year. There's always room for improvement, and certainly if we want to accomplish our objective for 2024, it starts with we feel like being a little bit more efficient on the attacking side, and that's something that we're really putting a lot of energy into at the moment.
Now let's turn the page and talk about the big announcements from today, which last year at this time you and I had this conversation and you were introducing us to eight new guys that we didn't know. Yeah. This year is completely different. It's eight guys that we know, that we like, that we love, that obviously it's a different tenor. What's just the fact that today, that on our big announcement day, we're announcing eight guys coming back, which is completely different from what you did last year. What's the statement, or what do you hope fans get out of that? Just the fact that here's our core from Brent Shipman all the way up to Christian Chaney. Here's our core of guys. What's the statement you're trying to make with that?
Yeah, I think it's continuity. I think when you look, what I've tried to do is take a pretty deep analytical look at teams in our league that have had sustained success over the course of more than one season in terms of being playoff teams. And you start to look at your Greenvilles, your Omahas, your teams that, you know, your Charlottes, you start to look at these teams over the last couple of years that have been consistent playoff teams and consistently, you know, competing for trophies. I think continuity is something that you'd find in their rosters, that they're keeping a decent majority of their roster over the course of the season. I think it helps with players who understand the level, understand the league, understand the challenges of the league that we play in. So doing a total sort of overhaul wasn't, after sort of analyzing the season, we didn't feel like that was what was needed. We felt like we had some good core pieces, and we felt like there's certainly areas in the roster that we need to improve, but we felt like there's a good core group, and that's the idea. And I think it's going to end up being more than eight that come back. That's just sort of where we're at from with the league and paperwork and red tape. It takes sometimes a bit of time to get things over the line, but yeah, we anticipate to have probably at least 10 returners overall from the 2023 season. So that's, you know, about half the team, you know, maybe a little bit less than half the team, and then we're still in some negotiations and talks with other guys. So, you know, I think you could end up seeing between 10 and 12 guys returning that have been with us in the past. And I think, that's sort of the macro objective or the macro strategy of that. And then obviously, like I said, we're going to definitely continue to try and make enhancements to the roster, continue to add quality, continue to add exciting players that we feel like are going to come in and help the team accomplish what we want next season.
Let's talk about some of these guys you announced today. Let's start at the back with Byrne Shipman. We don't have to do the introductions to all of them. We did last year, but with, you know, starting right at your number one, you're a goalkeeper by trade. What is it that makes that makes Byrne so good?
Yeah, apart from like putting up good numbers and just being a good statistical season. I even think there was probably there's another level to his game. He was out of the game for a little bit, in terms of getting consistent minutes, you know, and this was the first season in quite a while that he'd kind of been the guy. So I thought he started off really well. Was really strong for a majority of the season, I think. But I think even with a good year under his belt and now coming into next season, that experience of what our league's like, the travel demands, the training, the weather, all these things that for an international player can be adjustment sort of periods. I think Byrne, has proven himself to be a consistent performer. I think he's got more in the tank. I think he's even got maybe a notch higher than what he gave us this year, which I think is saying a lot given, again, 12 shutouts, which I think was second best in the league. But look, he's composed. I think when you look at, for me as a goalkeeper, there's difficult moments. A lot of times it's making good decisions and staying calm even when maybe things aren't going our way. I think Byrne does a really nice job of being a calming presence. He made some huge saves for us, some big plays in key moments that helped us win games. His ability with his feet is really strong for the way we want to play. We obviously are a team that's ball oriented and wants to try to play out of the back. And he's a bit like having an extra field player out there in that moment of the game, which is important for us. And then, like you said, goalkeeping, it's about keeping the ball out of the net, making big plays. And then I really like his composure. I could say those are the main reasons why we decided to retain Byrne. And we're excited and feel like there's even more that he can bring to the group.
Yeah. And moving up a little bit, that you've one thing I'm really excited about is you brought back the back line, all three of your main center backs, Mitch Osman, Jacob Krull, and Timmy Mell. I often say that you can tell a player's value in their absence, and you could really see that with Timmy Mell being out. And Sam Brotherton did a great job for him, but you definitely noticed Tim's absence. With all those three guys together, what is it? It feels like those three guys are more than the sum of their parts. What is it that they have as a unit that makes them so good working together?
Yeah, I think I think first and foremost, those three guys, they like each other, they get along, which is important. It's not the most important thing as professionals, but it is maybe an icing on the cake when guys see eye to eye and they enjoy playing together and the dialogue and the communication and the understanding is there, and it goes back to continuity again. But again, for me, if you look at it, analytically, statistically, I think all three of them were in the top 10 statistically based on our Y Scout stuff. So in terms of center backs in the league, so to be able to return a very strong back line was obviously something that we felt like we needed to do. And then they all bring, all three of those guys bring something a little bit different to the table, but I think they complement each other. Obviously Timmy's athleticism is big time for our level. Jake is a little bit all around, second team all league performer. I think he's just an all around kind of player, good athleticism, good on the ball. Can get involved in attacks, defends pretty well, in different areas of the field. And then obviously Mitch is our captain and voice and steady and composed and just experienced. So when you sort of combine those kind of things together, we feel like, it's a good recipe for continuing to have a strong defensive group. I think with all of those guys, we're excited to be returning them.
Yeah. And then looking to the midfield, obviously bringing back Mr. Mingo, Derek Ebhart, Nazim Bartman, and Aiden Macias, who I think Aiden raised a lot of eyebrows during the season last year. A lot of people were surprised at how well he did and how much time he got. thinking about are those guys, and especially you mentioned your ball-oriented club, your priority is to secure possession. and obviously those three guys are key to that. Are you envisioning them in similar roles that they had last year, with Derek kind of at a wing position and Nazim kind of at a nine or false nine? Or
it's hard to say, really. I mean, I think like we decided to bring those guys back because I feel like they good experience in the league, especially with Derek and Nazim having been with us since I've been here. Yeah. And Derek even the year before. know the league, experienced guys, good teammates, good quality. I think Derek had 6 goals and 3 assists. Zemo had 5 and 1 or 2. So you're getting product. I think they were our 2nd and 3rd leading scorers. So you're getting some quality back there in those positions. I think, again, there's Derek's versatility is something that I really like. He can play on the wing. He can play higher up the field. He's a good 1v1 player, which is something that we is very valuable at our level. So really like Derek's versatility. I think Zemo is a really good. He really fits in that sort of false nine underneath role that we use often. His awareness. You know, he has some good finishing ability. He can get out of stuff on his own, but moves well off the ball, works hard on both sides of the ball. So really happy to be bringing back just kind of versatile attacking players, which is big for us. And then obviously Aiden was great to have as a young guy still, his first campaign in League One. And for me, at the age that he's at, has a really high ceiling. I think there's, again, even he was out of the game for a little bit. In terms of getting consistent minutes, but to get him sort of kind of rolling and just his ability on the dribble, I think to unlock opponents and help us create chances and be more of like a box to box midfielder, athletic, really good passer, good vision, understands the way we want to play. So yeah, I'm really pleased. Another versatile guy. So I think you're probably starting to see trends in the words that I'm using. Like we really value those things and guys that are adaptable and coachable and we just feel like, look, it's hard to say exactly what role each one of them will play, but I anticipate all 3 of them being a big part of what we're going to do. Like I said, I think a big thing too for us is we come in and we add some pieces and it's competitive in those positions no one's spots, taken for granted. I think everyone's going to have to come in, compete, show their worth. And like I said, we want to create a little bit more depth in the team. So, they're just good team first guys, embody the things that we want in our players, and we're excited to have those 3 guys back.
And then up top, Christian Chaney made it. I mean, he tweeted something about he's going to miss Madison. It seemed like he was going to be moving on, which is, that happens, and we were all sad about it. But now he's changed course and is coming back, apparently. How were you able to talk him into that?
Well, Chaney, we he's an interesting guy. Chaney's a striker. He's a striker. He has a striker's personality, which is something that I think you need. A big personality, someone who's outgoing, gregarious, in the locker room. But, there's with big personalities, there's ups and downs. But I really think, again, if you look at the macro. On the whole with him, he his goals added is a statistic that we use, but essentially it means goals added is essentially a statistic that counts the likelihood that your team will score as opposed to concede when that player's on the field.
Yeah.
And in that category, I think he's like top 3 in the league. So that means, for me, of course, 11 goals on the season, he probably could have had 15, 20, to be honest, but he knows that. I think he's hungry for more. I think he was a little bit disappointed in, he's just that guy that wants more, and he's hungry and wants to score and helps us in more than just that phase of the game, with his size and power. We had his option. So, I think it was an easy decision for us to bring back a player with his attributes. And like I said, we're looking for even more out of him. And I think we get some help around him and as well, and maybe take some of the burden off of him. I think it only makes us better. So yeah, we're excited to have Christian back. And we feel like like I said, with Byrne, I think there's even another layer to what he can provide.
I said a lot last year that he is not the kind of guy he's not a poacher, right? He's not going to be perched at the 6-yard box to tap it in. He's creating as many goals as he's scoring, it feels like, just with his mentality and getting after guys and making really smart passes and really smart possession deeper in the field. So just kind of an all around addition to the squad, right?
Yeah, he helps us. He helps us in the when teams press and we have to play beyond that pressure, and he needs to hold it up, and we can get guys underneath him. He helped us big time in that. You know, there's moments this year, and look, I think all the guys that we've talked about can improve. There's all room for improvement, consistency. I think there's times where he's back there, you know, defending corners and saving a goal for us. And I think, you know, if we can get that consistency, that hunger and desire consistently out of him, I think he's only gonna get better. And then obviously goal scoring is obviously the metric that's most used for strikers. But again, I think I think he gets himself in good areas, and there's always room for improvement. But yeah, pleased to get him back in.
Now, last year you put together a roster that was a little bit leaner than most, and then in previous years at least, for a couple of reasons. And just wondered, and you mentioned a couple minutes ago about depth. Is your philosophy on that going to be similar this year? Have you evolved on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it just kind of depends how the market goes and how what we can do. Of course, and I think any coach would prefer to have more depth than less. I think, and especially given our schedule, the league we play in, it's probably something that hurt us down the stretch. But it's always something that's a challenge at our level, just given the constraints and economically and things like this. Like it's not like, you know, you can necessarily go out and get 23 guys that are ready to start every week. But I do think we're certainly going to try to get the strongest group that we can, and that means trying to add depth, trying to add more versatility and more players that we feel like are capable of impacting games and I think the more we can do that, the better, and we're going to do that to the best of our ability, you know, given the reality of the situation. So I think we feel good about where that's headed so far. We really like the start. We're probably not one of those teams that is going to like leave it till the very end and sign a bunch of guys in February. I think, that's probably not what's going to happen, but it's so funny because every year the market's different. The strategies change depending on what's available. Always new teams coming in, always the teams leaving. Champion, what's happening in the leagues above us, there's usually some sort of a trickle-down effect like in anything. So I think, it'll just be interesting to see how that evolves. But, yeah, our goals are going to be to improve the team and continue to add quality. And I think we're having some really strong discussions with some guys who we think are going to be improvements, new faces. Mm. Oh, I think we're excited about where things are headed.
Are you are you talking with like USL League One veterans or international guys or champion guys or a mix?
Yeah, some of both. I mean, I think you got to kind of, like I said, at our level, my learning curve has been you cast a wide net, you cast the widest net that you can. And, I think it's always, you're always looking into the league because the guys that are established in the league are obviously nice to have. You know what you're getting, they know the league.
Yeah.
That's always nice. So we look within the league, we look at the championship to see what players make sense. And usually those decisions kind of, or not decisions, those kind of opportunities come up a little bit later. And then the international market's always a frenzy as we get into January. Yeah. So it's important to keep some roster spots available for the right player. But still, they're always a little bit more of a roll of the dice, as they say, because I think. You just never quite know. I mean, to get an established, foreign player is not always the easiest thing to do. So I think it's just about finding the right fit. continuing to try to find guys that embody the not just what we want, like from a player profile on the field, but also the type of personality and the type of the guy who's going to embody the things that we want to be and be put the team first and work hard and be a good teammate. So those are all things that we're factoring in. But yeah, I think it's casting a wide net. It's not saying no to anything right away. It's really digging in. And basically what the staff and I do this time of the year is spend a lot of time on the computer and on the phone. So that's kind of what it is.
For those of us who maybe don't know, this is kind of a more detailed question, but you traded an international roster spot for Ozzie Ramos, I believe. How many international spots do you have, or how many international players are you allowed to carry?
So we can carry seven. Each team gets allocated seven, but those can be traded, passed around. Yeah. I think it's interesting. Like the value of those changes year to year. I think depending on the time of the year, depending on the market, depending on who's available. That was kind of a move. Like that move, in retrospect, was kind of like, all right, like Isidro was hurt. We felt like we needed some depth to help us make the playoffs. So I think like that was a sort of a late decision. Mm-hmm. Usually those, again, we plan to use, I think we used six international spots last season. I think we'll plan to use about the same. We have six spots now because we've traded one. So I think, it just could depend. You know, people, there's sales of international roster spots. There's trades of international roster spots. So it's something that, I think it just depends on every team's a little bit different in the way that they go about it. And the market value of those things kind of fluctuates as depending on timelines and things like that.
Well, Matt Glazer, again, congrats on a good first day of announcements here. As we now go into winter with 5 or 6 months with no forward Madison soccer, what is your message to the fans as we look ahead to 2024?
No, I think it's just the same as what it's been, and that's, we're so thankful, we're so fortunate here at our club and my players and staff to have the support that we get in the city of Madison for the sport, for the team. It's an unparalleled atmosphere at our stadium in terms of as the league goes. So we feel so fortunate to have that. And I feel like my message would be, let's continue to be excited because we're not satisfied. I think if we were satisfied being a middle of the pack kind of, playoff caliber team, that's fine, but we're not, that's not the case. And I think, we're going to push to try to continue to reward the fans, and even more so next season, try to get ourselves a home, in a home playoff game situation, which we feel like could be an advantage to carry on past the first round and then we go from there. But I think, the fans should understand that we're looking to compete for trophies. We're going to dump everything that we can into it. There's no more, three-year, long-term plan. It's we're going for it next year. So I think it would be at the very least, a carrot, a light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully something to be excited about, because that's just the reality of the situation. We're going to go for it next year.
All right, you heard it here. They're going for it. Matt Glazer, thanks so much for your time today.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Rob.
And as always, thanks to Matt for being with us. I just wanted to throw in a few of my own thoughts on this, on these announcements. None of it real shocking to me, other than Christian Chaney, simply because he had, sort of indicated that he wasn't coming back. But then now he is, which is fantastic. I think bringing back that back line is absolutely incredible to get all three of those guys back. And Burn Shipman as well. So you've got, last year Matt really built from the back. He waited a long time to announce the goalkeeper. Remember, we all had anxiety about that. but I think Burn would have had been signed, or at least been very close to being signed, before he was announced. But he really did. They really did build from the back last year. Seemed to have done that again this year. As Matt mentioned, there's a handful more returners to announce, but not a lot. Maybe like two or three or four more guys. I mean, I have no additional information. I have no like embargoed announcements or rumors or anything other than my own wishes. But you know, we'd love to see Cello back in the sixth role. We'd love to see Jaden, although I think that's really unlikely for a number of reasons. Jaden Onan, he was really coming on toward the end of the season. But I just, for a number of reasons, I just don't think he'll be back. you know, and then some of those, the core reserves, I think Pierre Da Silva made a pretty strong impression when he came back in. He's definitely still, I think, a USL championship caliber player or higher, but still working his way back. So maybe another season at our level would work for him. He obviously made an impression with the goal against Fuego and lots of other chances. Obviously, Stephen Payne, fingers are crossed that he may be, you know, if he could get all five of those guys back, Derek, the three guys in the back, and then Stephen Payne on the right, you'd feel really, really good going into the next season. What do we need to add? Obviously, we need to add maybe another threat up top, right? Christian Chaney is going to get a lot of attention. You need one more threat up there, along with, you know, Derek and Bartman and Macias. Maybe you need Macias to be slightly higher, and you need another guy to slide in sort of at the number eight. Obviously, you need depth. Right, we saw the effect of injuries late in the season. But we'll see. I think this is a strong statement that this coaching staff and the front office are committed to this core group, and we'll see how they do. A couple other things to note that I've posted about on our Substack. Oh, did you know we have a new Substack? We have a newsletter, talkinflock.substack.com. I sort of flooded subscribers with emails today with every announcement because I was so excited about them all. It's not going to be like that. It'll be maybe once a week. Once the season starts, it'll be somewhat less frequent over the course of this offseason. But I did post a couple of things, one about Ford Madison specifically. Our home opener, of course, is April 13th. We do not know yet when the opener is. It'll obviously be sometime in late March. The Madison, Big Top Sports, you know, the owner of the team, along with the Madison Mallards, announced last spring that they're going to bring a women's team to Madison. They thought they wanted it to be in 2025. That doesn't seem likely anymore. Connor Kaloya told me that they're putting together the funding plan to the city to make the necessary stadium improvements. They're going to take that to the city in the spring, like by May 1st, which means that those allocations, if they're not coming out of general funds, they'd be allocated in the capital budget for 2025, which means they wouldn't even start working on that until 2025 and, you know, spring 2026. So August 2026 is probably the soonest we'll have a women's team in Madison. That goes along with the delay in the stadium in Milwaukee. So we'll have both new teams adding, joining their respective leagues, the Super League and the USL Championship in 2026 rather than 25, which means we have two more seasons focusing on Fort Madison. Then we'll have three teams all of a sudden, which will be really exciting in Wisconsin. And then we also got a little bit of a leak accidentally of the USL League One Cup, which apparently is going to be an in-season tournament. We were able to glean, I'm not going to go into it all right now. Go to the Substack, talkinflock.substack.com. I got a breakdown of what I was able to infer from the leak and some thoughts on why it's a dumb idea and why it's kind of a clever idea. It basically gets the league season down to 22 games without sacrificing any revenue from gate sales by adding eight games for everybody. in this tournament format, and then at least one or two other games for the best teams who make it through that group stage. I think it's an opportunity to showcase a third kit, an alternate kit. You know how we love our kits in Madison. It's just another opportunity to wear a different shirt. And I really think they should do like the NBA in the season tournament did and put different colored turf on the fields for those games. That's a joke. Obviously, you can't do that. But I kind of like it. In fact, that it solves the problem of the imbalance on the schedule. Because when you're playing every other team three times or sometimes twice, it's never just home and away the way it's supposed to be. Right? Ideally, every team in the league plays every other team in the league twice, home and away, and then you add up the points at the end. There's only 12 teams, that's only 22 games. And that's not enough when you have any sort of reasonable league minimum salary. You can't drop 10 games. So how do you solve that problem? You just make those extra 8 to 10 games a tournament. Gives you something else to play for. It'll be the same teams. That's the problem. It'll be the same teams in the tournament finals as in the playoffs, kind of around the same time of year, September, October, into November. But yeah, that's all right. Gives something else to go for, right? You could try to get the double or the triple or whatever. So that it could add a layer of excitement to the whole season, which might be kind of fun. Okay, I'm going to go back a little bit here to the announcements on League One Day One. Because some of you folks on the Reddit thread here were pretty happy with the way things went. Bones Boy saying three best players from 23 coming back. That was after only three had been announced. Nice to have the stability at the back. Very, very important. Love, this is Hydro Badger 42. Says, love that list of players and happy for them to serve as the core of the roster for next year. The Cheney one is an awesome surprise. For me, the one player I'm most curious about and hoping is back is Stephen Payne. He held on that right side all year and will be a big miss. 100%. That'll be a big miss if we can't get him back. Understand, you know, it's got to be both ways. He's got to want to come back, and we've got to be able to give him what he needs in terms of salary and everything else. So, but fingers crossed, here's hoping. We should get some more announcements in the coming weeks if it goes anything like next year, or last year rather. And as you mentioned, Matt doesn't want to wait a long time, right? He wants to get guys in before we start the friendlies in February. So we should be getting more announcements here soon, and we will keep you updated on all those announcements, and we'll do a couple more special episodes, maybe with some of the new players as we go along here. So until then, this is Rob Chappell, and this has been a special USL League One Day One edition of Talkin' Flock. Have a great week. We'll be right back.